Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hey, everyone who listens to the podcast, this is Ari Melber. This week's news was dominated by many things, but the one with the longest implication is, of course, these hearings for Donald Trump's nominee to the Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh. I actually got to spend a couple days down there covering the hearings. We saw some pointed exchanges, including the Democrats saying there was too much secrecy to kick off the hearing and trying to get it all delayed. Cory Booker threatening to release documents, which he ultimately did. There was a big fight over whether that was all a plan or something that could get him, as he put it, ousted from the Senate. Kavanaugh also made a lot of news with his discussion of Roe v. Wade and U.S. v. Nixon. Now, today, Nixon's former lawyer, who ended up testifying against him in the Watergate era, is saying Kavanaugh's views on executive power would be detrimental. Now, on today's podcast extra, you're going to hear some of our coverage this week of the Kavanaugh hearings, followed by my interview with Senator Sheldon Whitehouse.
What would you say your position today is on a woman's right to choose?
Well, as a judge. As a judge, it is an important precedent of the Supreme Court. By it, I mean Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey. Been reaffirmed many times. Casey is precedent on precedent.
Precedent on precedent. I am joined by people who know their way around precedents. Sherilyn Ifill is the president of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. Elise Hogue, president of NARAL Pro-Choice America. And my favorite legal eagle, NPR's Nina Totenberg, who is furiously still covering the hearing there at Ground Zero. My thanks to all of you. This is big. Sherilyn, off the top. Did Judge Kavanaugh help or hurt himself today?
So I think he hurt himself today, and I want to disagree with you. This was very exciting.
It was exciting.
It really was.
I didn't realize. Now I know it was. I was there all day today and yesterday.
You missed it. There were very important moments, and we learned a lot about Judge Kavanaugh. And there was a mix of substance and process that was really important. You know the whole issue about the documents we don't have from Kavanaugh's time when he worked for President Bush. That was interwoven with some of the colloquy that you showed at the top of the hour. Mm-hmm. Senator Leahy, for example, brought a line of questioning about whether or not Kavanaugh had received confidential documents that had been stolen from Senator Leahy in 2002, mm-hmm. at the time that Kavanaugh worked on judicial nominees. And what Leahy did was he questioned the nominee up to the point that he couldn't use documents that the chair of the committee has deemed committee confidential. And Leahy said something pretty extraordinary. He said that he had documents that would contradict the testimony that Judge Kavanaugh was making right in the chambers. Later, it happened again with Chris Coons from Delaware. Mm-hmm. He was engaged in a really important colloquy with the nominee about executive power, executive privilege, about the Morrison case, and about the independent counsel and the special counsel, and whether the president has the power to be free from investigation while in office, which is the key issue with Trump. Mm-hmm. And Kuhn said that there are four documents that he thinks are critical from Kavanaugh's past to be able to flush out the answers.
Which goes to the secrecy that Democrats have been hammering.
That's right.
Turning to you, Elise, one thing I've learned legally is that generally if I have a legal concept and Sherilyn Ifill has to correct me, she probably has it right. So they were exciting hearings, and I want to correct that for the record. My question to you is, what does it tell you that more than any other issue or, quote, hypothetical, Roe and Choice was the place where Judge Kavanaugh claimed and suggested and intimated that he will not overturn Roe?
I did not hear him say that one bit. Super precedent is not a thing. And what we did hear, and what we've heard all through his meetings, is he believes in Roberts' interpretation of settled law, right? Roberts has been a reliable anti-abortion vote every step of the way. He did say, you know, he used a lot of code language, and in fact, Senator Blumenthal called him on it afterwards. He used a lot of abortion on demand language, which is code to the anti-choice movement. In fact, there was, after your super precedent comment, Life News sent out a missive to their members being like, pay no attention.
It's all good. Well, let me bring, again, for viewers who aren't watching the entire exciting hearing, let me play a little bit more of the so-called super precedent from Kavanaugh today.
Planned Parenthood versus Casey reaffirmed Roe and did so by considering the stare decisis factors. So Casey now becomes a precedent on precedent. Roe v. Wade's an important precedent of the Supreme Court.
This is something central to a woman's life. When government controls that decision for her, she is being treated as less than a fully adult human responsible for her own choices.
I think you see the contrast right there, Ari, and I think that that's what 60% of Americans in an ABC poll said that they wanted to hear Tuesday morning. They want to hear straight answers on whether or not he is actually going to embrace the idea of the fundamental freedom of access to abortion. What you did not hear him say, which was very, very disturbing, was when Senator Feinstein reminded him that women died before Roe, what he said is, I understand you believe that. I understand you feel passionately about that.
You thought that was a tell.
He did not say it's factual that women died. I have concerns that women might die again. And so what we heard was code words that gave no one any sense of comfort who sits where I sit that he will do anything other than end Roe and criminalize abortion, and a lack of empathy for the consequence for millions of American women.
Let me go to Nina Totenberg, who, as I mentioned, is covering the hearings live. We just talked about the secrecy issues as well as the choice issues. What else do you think came through in this hearing today?
Well, I thought actually the exchange with Dianne Feinstein about guns was pretty illuminating. Judge Kavanaugh, as a judge, wrote a dissenting opinion, in a panel where the other conservative members of the panel upheld the D.C. ban on semi-automatic assault rifles and magazines of more than 10 rounds. And in that dissent, he basically said that in the view of the Supreme Court, this is the way he interpreted a decision and his view, that the right to bear arms is analogous to the right of free speech, and that we would no more ban a category of arms than we would a category of speech. That was his dissenting opinion, and he didn't walk back from that at all today.
Right, which is crazy has been the word of the day here, colloquially, in earlier blocks about this op-ed. That's, many people would say, legally crazy pants. I mean, it's well known that
there... I would not say that.
I'm saying it's crazy pants, just so that everyone understands. But because obviously you can regulate grenades and nuclear weapons differently than smaller weapons. The notion, I think, that the Constitution forbids that is a stretch. I want to also play for you, Nina, some sound of hand raising, really, that shows that Kavanaugh had at least publicly presented the idea that you can't indict a sitting president previous to today. Take a look.
How many of you believe, as a matter of law, that a sitting president cannot be indicted during the term of office? Just raise it up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. More than half the panel believes.
That was a public answer. Then how did that compare to his answer today in your view of the way the Mueller and criminal probe questions came up?
Well, as he pointed out, the position of the Department of Justice has for 45 years been that you cannot indict a sitting president. That's why the Watergate special prosecutor made Richard Nixon an unindicted co-conspirator. Now, that doesn't say you can't present information to Congress of criminal activity that would lead to an impeachment, but the position of the Department of Justice in Democratic and Republican administrations has been that you can't indict a sitting president. And so in that sense, it's not extraordinary, but it does feed into his other views, often expressed, that investigations of the president are harmful. He has proposed in a Law Review piece legislation to make criminal investigation of a president something that can't be done during the president's term of office or even civil suits. And it's clearly his experience also, as he made very clear today, after 9/11, he said for George Bush for the next year, every day was September 12th. Mm. And that anything that diverted him from that was harming the country. And that is, I think he's made pretty clear that he has grave doubts about how far you can go investigating a president. And he very carefully did not answer or suggest any answers or suggest that he did not even fully embrace today the Nixon tapes case. He said that he thought it was one of the great decisions of the court because the court stood up, was independent, and stood up in a time of national crisis.
Right.
But when Senator Feinstein pressed him on whether he thought it was correctly decided, he hemmed and hawed.
Senator Sheldon Whitehouse is here live after quite a day. Senator, within these hearings this week, have you seen anything that you view as disqualifying for Judge Kavanaugh to be elevated to the Supreme Court?
Well, he certainly hasn't lifted any of the clouds of doubt about his candidacy, particularly that he's being sent there, as the president specifically said, to overturn Roe versus Wade. And second, that he's being sent there to protect the president from ongoing criminal investigations.
Well, let's take each of those. You've been pushing hard questions, and we're looking at live footage there as the testimony continues. On Roe, since you mentioned it, do you think he is misleading your committee when he says it's a super precedent based on what the new email reveals?
I think he's being very coy and doing his very best to leave himself room to move to overrule Roe. It's hard to pin him down on terms, but if you begin with precedent and then improve to precedent on precedent and then go to settled law and then finally go to correctly decided settled law, that's kind of how the spectrum goes, and he won't say that Roe was correctly decided. He will say that Brown versus Board of Education is correctly decided. He'll say that other cases are correctly decided, but he leaves himself that window to overrule Roe, and he has been very slick about dodging around that.
Let's be direct, because these things can get rather convoluted. Senator, are you saying that he is avoiding committing to upholding Roe because that would ultimately be perjury before the Senate if he then overturned Roe and made it on the court?
Well, I think he's more trying to avoid that in order to give senators like Senator Murkowski and Senator Collins some room to believe that he will protect Roe and that they could be surprised later on when he doesn't.
Do you think he has assured Senator Collins in any meaningful way that he is pro-choice? Because the balance of what's happened this week, and you just went through some of it, seems to suggest more that he is pro-life, which would make sense because the president committed to only appointing pro-life justices.
Yeah, well, the question whether he's pro-choice and whether he's pro-life kind of runs beside the question of how he will treat Roe versus Wade as precedent. And he has gone as far as to say that it is settled law, but he has also said in that particular email that you mentioned that settled law can be overturned all the time by the court. So the magic words that you're looking for, that he's really committed to defending a particular precedent, are that it is correctly decided.
Right.
Settled law, and he has not been willing to say that. So he's leaving himself the opening to go back and overrule Roe versus Wade.
Sometimes under all this pressure,
that's suspicious.
I hope you'll forgive me, Senator. I say pro-choice because when we get into what's correctly decided and the day it was decided, it's too close to law school and too far from plain language. But I know what you mean. I want to turn to the other point that you have been pressing and that a lot of Americans are concerned about, and that dovetails with the ongoing scandal about people inside the Trump administration saying they are concerned about his fitness for office, which, of course, matches whether there were crimes committed in office. Take a listen to Senator Coons, who pressed, as you did, on these Mueller issues today.
I'm interested in your understanding of the Constitution and whether or not it prohibits restrictions on the president's ability to fire a special prosecutor at will.
So the Supreme Court said, and so you're asking my views. My views are what the precedent says. In other words, I follow the precedent.
Does that concern you? Why can't a current appeals court judge simply say that obviously the president cannot fire the prosecutor investigating him without cause?
It would be good if he could say that, but he didn't. And that's, I think, part of the problem. He comes to us with a record that runs from him saying that you can't indict a sitting president and hypothesizing that United States versus Nixon, the subpoena of the president case, was wrongly decided, to then in front of us saying that United States versus Nixon is one of the great four cases of history, and it's really hard to work through somebody who has taken such a broad array of positions on the same issue. And when you try to pin him down, he just talks about precedent rather than trying to narrow the range of arguments that he himself has made over time.
Senator Whitehouse, I know this is an extraordinarily busy time for you and your committee. I appreciate you stepping out to speak with us tonight on an issue that I think concerns a lot of Americans.
Thanks. Happy to do it.
Thank you, Senator.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.